It's so where you believe it or not. But it is good to be back at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, and I'll be eternally grateful to you people and to the Lord for the privilege of preaching here for 46 years. I didn't come here to stay here. I came over as a country church, and I wanted to stay a while here and learn how to preach and go to the city and be a city preacher. And the Lord brought the city to me out here. And it's been a privilege to be here these years. And my wife and I appreciate all you've, the church has been good to us. We appreciate it still being good to us. And we thank the Lord for the privilege of being here. And I want to do two things. Every preacher ought to want to do two things. First of all, exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only one worth exalting, not the Baptist. I know too many of them, or anybody else, but exalt him. And then I preach, ought to want to help people. Now, you may not always agree with my preaching, but I'm up here to help you. So let's look at the Word of God and turn to John, the third chapter. I want to read some verses on the, I'm not going to preach on the new birth as such, but let's read John, the third chapter. I like to hear that sound of the pages of the Word of God, don't you? It's music. Okay, John, the third chapter, it's in there. I keep looking for it. You'll find it. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot even see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water, that's the word of God, and the spirit of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Then turn one page back to John, just a couple, three verses in the first chapter. Verse 11. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, the Lord Jesus Christ, to them he gave the power, gave you power, that is authority, to become the son, the right to become the son of sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which are born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but they're born of God. Born of God. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for this privilege. Lord, for standing in the pulpit one more time this side of eternity. And Lord, I can't preach unless you help me. And our help, we know, cometh from the Lord who made heaven and earth. And Lord, help me to just lift up Jesus to these dear folk today. That's all we need. They don't want to need to see a preacher. We need to see Jesus. And Holy Spirit, would you testify of him in this service today? And maybe he glorified, meet our needs, encourage us, those that need encouraging in the pathway of life, may have thrown them some curveballs, but Lord, would you know you're an ever-present help in time of need. May they understand that. And bless me now as I preach. And Lord, if somebody's here not saved today, oh God, would you speak to their heart? And may somebody be saved, if it be your will, before they leave here, somebody get back right with God. And we'll praise you for all you want to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I received a letter a while back from a lady who asked me to pray for her, a lady who used to be a member of Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, but she had moved out into another state. And she said this lady was not sure of her salvation. I know when we came up many years ago to the chapel over there, there's a young lady, a fine young lady, but every time we'd have a good service, here she'd come. She'd get an altar, and I'd go and say, could I help you? And she'd say, I'm not sure I'm saved. And I'd counsel with her and pray with her and show her some verses of scripture, try to give her some help. And then Next time, maybe when we'd have another good service and people come to the altar, here she'd come. And I'd say, what seems to be the problem? She'd say, I'm not sure. I'm saying. And she did that so many times that I almost got weary of her coming to the altar. I'd put other people on. But finally, she got the assurance. She said, you know, when we seek him with our whole heart, we'll find him. That's what the Word of God says. And if you're not saved, I'll guarantee you, if you'll just seek him with your whole heart, you'll find him. And she got, the young lady finally married a fine Christian man, and she got satisfied that she was saved, and they have a Christian home, and her boy is a preacher today. So it's the most important thing in life, folks. If I ever never preach another time, I can stand and say the most important thing in life is to be born again and saved, good and saved, and right with God. And know it. And know it. That's what you need to know more than anything else in this world. And John 3:3, that when read, Jesus said that the important thing in life is to know you're born again and saved. He said, and he said that you'll never get to see the kingdom of God unless you're born again. Then in verse 5 there I read that you've got to be born of the water, the Word of God, and the Spirit, or you'll never get inside the eastern gate of the city of God. So you've got to be born again. And in John 7, chapter, verse 7 there, he made the statement, a clear statement, very succinct. And he said, Jesus said, ye must be born again. And John 1:12 tells us, what I read, that exactly how a man is saved or born again. He has to have a sincere heart. It's my heart matter, not a head matter. It's a heart matter. It's get down 6 inches below your collarbone and see yourself as a sinner. If the Holy Spirit's speaking to you and you receive him, believe alone the Lord Jesus Christ, you have the authority from the Word of God to say that you're saved. But one of the tricks of the devil... Let me see what I start. I don't want to start. I don't want to quit, though, just like Brother Jody. Whenever we get through, we'll go home and eat. But anyway, one of the tricks of the devil is to get a child of God doubting. And the wicked one can defeat you if he can get you constantly doubting where you're truly saved or born again. And a while back, a number of years ago now, I was reading through the little book of 1 John. And as I did, I wrote down, reading through that 5 chapters, I believe it is, 12 or 15 ways that you can know that you're saved and born again. Now, I'm not going to preach on 12 or 15 ways to know you're saved, but 1 John is written to the children of God who have been born again and born in the family of God by the new birth. Now, you have to have two births to get to heaven. You have to be born physically, naturally. And then you have to be born again spiritually. And you turn at this time over to 1 John. That's where I'm going to stay the rest of my message here. 1 John, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, Jude, Revelation. So turn to the 2nd John. And then notice in 1 John 2:1. 1 John 2:1. My little children. My little children, these things write I unto you. Now, John wrote, the Apostle John wrote 1 John under the influence of the Holy Spirit, leadership of the Holy Spirit. And he said, my little children are my born again ones, my born again ones. And he addresses them as my born again ones. That's what he's talking to in 1 John. Now, let me point out just 4 or 5 ways this morning you can be assured that you are born again by this precious little book. Now let me make a disclaimer. I'm not trying to get anybody to doubt their salvation. I'm not trying to do that. I know years ago we had, I won't mention the group, many of here remember, I would never have tried to get everybody doubting their salvation. Well, now if you doubt your salvation, I want to help you. But I don't want to get you. Harold Seitler, after that group left, one night time we had 15 or 20 of our people come in under that group trying to get saved. And I think every one of them finally decided they're already saved. Some of you here, I see you. And I talked to Dr. Seidler about that, and he said, Brother Gene, and he's one of the greatest preachers ever, walked in shoe leather in America, and had a great church, and Tabernacle Baptist Church in Greenville, South Carolina. He said, Brother Gene, sometimes some of the best people I've got in my church, the devil get them doubting their salvation. So I want to help you. If you there's a time you back there when you know you were saved, I want to give you some assurances how you can know you're saved. First of all, in 1 John 2, look at verses 3 through 5. Hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we now, we know that we are in him if we're trying to keep his word. So we are saved by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. But here in God's word, he's saying we can know we're saved and born again if we're just trying. Now we're going to fail. I fail many times. I'm not trying to tell you how good I am, because I know this bird standing here. I know I have an old sin. By the way, you have an old sinful nature too. So, but once you're born again, you have a new nature that'll make you want to live right. And so we can know we're saved if we're seeking to keep and trying our best now. I know we try a lot of times and we fail. I'm glad God is a merciful God. But if he knows our heart, and if we're trying to keep his word and obey his word, that's a good, pretty good sign you're saved. Jesus said in John 14, 21, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will manifest myself unto him. So Jesus is saying, if you really love me, and you're saved and born again, the proof is that you will read and keep my word. Now, so the question is, are you reading God's word daily? And then when you read it, trying to obey the word of God, or trying. I'm trying, and God knows our hearts. And if you are reading, if you made a profession, one time you were saved and you knew it at that time, and if you're reading God's word and trying to obey it, that's pretty good chance you're saved. The Bible says it is. I was saved when I was 12 years old, and when I started, and when I was 15 years old, I started reading through the Bible so many times a day, so many chapters a day, and reading my Bible through the year. And I've been doing that ever since 15 years. Now, that's not much. I'm not bragging on myself. Anybody can spend 20, 30 minutes reading a scripture portion every day to get them through the Word of God in 1 year. But folks, if I hadn't got in the Word of God, I'd have probably already been in hell by now. And I wouldn't be preaching right now if I hadn't got in the Word of God. And so the first assurance, you're reading the Word and heeding the Word. Now, the second one, you might not like this too much, but I want to help you on this. Chapter 2, verse 15 through 17. Look at that. Love not the world. Sorry about that, folks. Neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. Now, in verse 5 there in that chapter, our assurance that we're truly born again is if we're keeping his word. Now here in this verse, our assurance is of the new birth is that we no longer love the world like we did before we got saved. And 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ Jesus, he's what? He's a what? New creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Now when a newborn person gets saved, they're a baby in Christ. But if you have been saved for months and years, and there's not been a change in your life, more than likely, you've not been saved. Because any man being Christ, he's a new creature. Now, My father and mother were afflicted with having two preacher boys in the family, only two boys. Both of us were captain of the football team at Saudi Asian High School down near Chattanooga, Saudi there. And both of us became Baptist preachers. One thing worse than that is having three Baptist preachers in the family, I guess. But we're both retired and still both of us preaching today. But my brother and I were talking here a while back about our Uncle Jim. Now, you that have been here many years at church, you know about my Uncle Jim. I've told you many times, but we were talking. He's one of the worst drunks that I've ever seen in my life. He had come down. They'd go up behind the railroad track to the old coke ovens and get in there gambling and get drunk. And Uncle Jim had come down the Ducktown Road inside of Tennessee and with a hawkbill knife out, daring all the men to come out staggering from one side to the other. But one day we had a Holy Ghost revival in Saudi, Tennessee. And folks, a Holy Ghost revival. The Republicans proven already they're not going to straighten America out. Democrats couldn't. Only a Holy Ghost revival is going to save America. And we better pray for a mighty move of God or we're goners in America. But I'm glad as a boy, before I went off to college, I was in a Holy Ghost. Boy, it's a wonderful thing when the presence of God, nothing beats in this world being around where the presence of God is. And the Lord moved every night. I mean, what a time we had. Uncle Jim, his mama told him, my grandma, Lashley, she had come to church and she'd start shouting before you got to the church. She loved the Lord so much. They'd start bragging on Jesus. Well, before she died, she said, Jimmy, I'm going to meet you in heaven. Uncle Jim come one night to that revival. He sat there and didn't get saved. But you know what? The Lord gigged him. He went under the mountains to mine coal the next day and under conviction the whole day. By the way, you got to get under conviction before you can get born again. And Uncle Jim was under conviction all day. He came home that night and got down under a willow tree, up down a creek below while his wife got supper, and he got saved by the grace of God. He was there sitting on the second row that night in the revival. After the first verse, he jumped up and said, my mama's prayers have been answered. And you know what? He never drunk a drop of liquor the rest of his days on this earth. The new birth will help you with the drug problem and the drinking problem, the adultery problem. You must be born again. But Uncle Jim also, when he didn't want to give up liquor, you know what? He couldn't read and write. And he wanted the Lord to teach him how to read right. And he somehow, I don't know, I was going already in college when this happened. I was there, that was right before I went off to college when he got saved. And then he wanted the Lord to teach him how to read. Somehow he learned to read. You know why he wanted to learn to read? So he could read the Bible. That's another pretty good sign. A man saved. And there's one thing. I'm going to watch this watch here now. But there's one thing I'm sure this book teaches that I brought to this pulpit here. It teaches when you get old time, heaven sent, born from above salvation, you'll be a changed person. Now, that's what my King James Version teaches. And you love what God loves, and you'll hate what God hates. If I go out in the barnyard and see something that walking along, waddled like a duck, quacking like a duck, looking like a duck, I wouldn't call it a turkey, would you? I'd call it a duck. And if I go out here and see someone who looks like the world, dresses like the world, goes where the world goes, smells like the world, I'd say they're a worldly person. But if I see someone that stays out of the hell holes of the world and dresses like we ought to dress like a Christian. And dress like a Christian. I won't get on that topic. It's too short a topic. It's a matter of dressing. And if he looks like a Christian and loves the house of God, loves the word of God, loves the songs of Zion, I'd pretty well say that person saved, didn't he? He's a Christian. Why? Because if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away and all things are become new. So when we are assured, we can be assured of that we're born again, if our lives are characterized by not loving the world. Now, our folks, let me say this, none of us are perfect. I've said before, like the old man said, the only two perfect people in the world that have ever been in the world is the Lord Jesus Christ, my wife's first husband. But listen, he's been the only one perfect that's ever been in this world. None of us are perfect. But I believe when you get born again, down in your heart, you'll have, the old man's there before we get saved. Then you have a new man that's made in Christ Jesus come in your heart. That's what being born again is. And that new man will make you want to live right. Hey, somebody say amen right there. Help this preacher out now. Well, let's move. I've afflicted you a little bit. Let's go a little bit more over into the third chapter. And a third assurance we can have of being born again is if we love the brethren. Look at verse 14. We know that we've passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. Now, John doesn't say here, we know we've passed from death unto life if you've been baptized or joined the church or give a tithe or live a clean, good life, and you'll do all of that. But he says we can know we're saved and born again because we love the people of God. And do you love the people of God today? Do you love to fellowship with God? I miss it. One of the things about being retired from this church, I've gone around a lot of these churches all over the country. I miss the people at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. And do you look forward to coming to God's house? Get around born-again people, brothers and sisters in Christ. Then, that's a pretty good sign you're saved if you love to come to the house of God. Ephesians 4:32 says, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted and forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Well, to forgive each other because God's forgiven us. Then Romans 5, how would you do it, preacher? Romans 5:5 says, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. By the Holy Ghost. And old Brother Page, I'd miss old Brother Page. He'd come up here at our prayer meeting on Saturday morning, and he'd always sit right there, and we'd start singing. He'd start, and he was in his 90s, and he'd run like a teenager shouting over here. I mean, he'd bring God on this thing. And I remember he'd say before, I used to go down to his house every Thursday night for visitation. Brother, that'll get you right to go down to Brother Page's house for visitation. I'd come in, he'd say, sing my song. I'd start singing, I was once in Egypt's bondage, but deliverance came to me. And he'd hear it shouting all over his house. And I was ready to go out visiting then, I'll tell you. But anyway, he used to say, Brother Lad, he called me Brother Lasby. I said, just don't call me Brother Lasby. But it's okay. I wish he was back here today so I could go down and hear him call me Brother Lasby. Not Brother Lesby. Now, girls, don't look at me that way now. That's the second mistake I made in my life. The first one was breathing. That was my first mistake. But Brother Page would say, before I got saved, I didn't love anybody. I didn't even love myself. But he said, once I got saved, you know what? He said, I love everybody now. And that's what you ought to be. We ought to love people. So if you're carrying grudges and hard feelings and bitterness in your heart, according to this verse, folks, you can't know you're saved because the fellowship has been severed, see? You haven't been, not relationship, you're still his child, but if you're saved, the fellowship's not there. When you have hard feelings, it'll destroy you. Then you can't know you're born again and have hard feelings in your heart and animosity. I mean, my dear wife sitting over here, she's had to put up with me for all these years. And listen, I wouldn't have made it without my wife. Don't everybody say amen at the same time there. But sometimes, or I remember a few times that she'd say something and I'd smart off. Now, I know you men have never done that. I'd be maybe unkind. Well, I'd have my message ready and I'd be sitting back there and I couldn't get peace because I knew that I had said it was wrong. And I knew as I was walking down the aisle, I remember Brother Irvin one time, the Holy Spirit said, go over and tell your wife that you're sorry for what she said. And, you know, us men, we're big, strong men. We hate to get humbled like that. But I walked over there and I said, honey, I'm sorry for what I said this morning. Would you forgive me? She said, yes. And the birds started singing in my soul. And I got up here and preached like a holy roller after that. What time is it? I better. Let me just say this. I've got some more I was going to say. But I would not allow grudges and hard feelings and bitterness to fill my soul. I don't care what they've done for you. You ought to forgive them. I don't want it. You know, there's a man one time when we come up, built that church over here, he threatened my life. Well, he left the church, came back. Then he came forward one day, knelt right over here. And I went over and put my arm around him, prayed with him, and he got back right with God. So if I'd had hard feelings toward him, I couldn't have prayed with him. Had his funeral. I believe he's in heaven right now. So we need to be careful. Listen, if there's someone in this building today, you've got something against in their heart, I mean something, bitterness or something in your heart, you ought to make things right with them before you leave this church today. And God bless you if you'll do that. And revival will break out in your soul if you'll just get right with people. And I've determined in my life, it's too short to go around holding grudges and bitterness. I want nothing between my, why do you want to apologize, preacher? I grandpa apologize all the time if God speaks to me, because I don't want anything between my soul and the Savior. That's why you ought not carry, hey, you'll have a backslidden spirit all the time. I mean, you don't have to agree with everybody all the time, but you can't have bitterness and hard feelings in your heart. I want to say, I've got a little time left, but I'm just going to move on off that. That's true. I'm going to say a lot more, but that's true. I've got a couple other things I want to mention. As I said, I'm not going to preach on those 15 points in here. I've got a couple more to mention, and we'll be out of here sometime before supper. But I love this fourth assurance that we're born again. Turn to chapter 3, verse 24. Chapter 3, verse 24. And it's the abiding presence of the Holy Spirit. Once we get born again, the abiding presence is promised us, the Holy Spirit. Verse 24, chapter 3, 24. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by what? The capital S, the Holy Spirit that abideth, at which he hath given us. Then another verse right quick, 4:13, look at verse 13. Hereby know we, that we dwell in him and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. When we're born again, and I didn't realize this, for a long time, it's one of the most glorious things in the world, that when we're born again, the Holy Spirit comes in and makes, as the representative of the Lord Jesus Christ, and makes Christ real to us. And when you got saved, the Holy Spirit, if you got born again, the Holy Spirit came in to dwell. You know, I got saved at 13. I didn't know how to get out of the rain spiritually, doctrinally. I mean, I was heard it all my life, but I didn't know much about the Word of God. But I didn't understand this for years, that the Holy Spirit came in and is making Christ real to me. I knew that I'd been saved that night. I felt the Lord for the first time, but I didn't realize the Holy Spirit. Jesus said when he comes, he'll testify of me. See, he comes into our life to brag on Jesus. And that's what a preacher ought to get up and do. And a ton of school teacher and a Christian. Just brag. Let's brag, go around bragging on him. And that's what he wants us to do. But anyway, the night I got saved, I went home. And lay down on the bed, and there I felt the presence of the Lord. And folks, there's nothing in this world. Now, I didn't realize for years it was the Holy Spirit making Jesus real to me. And there's every now and then, I've been saved for almost 70 years, and every now and then, preacher, do you feel the Holy Spirit all the time? No, I get so backslidden just like you do sometimes, and things don't go right, and I don't feel like God in 40 miles of me. But when it does, every now and then, I feel the wonderful presence of the Lord. And folks, there's nothing like the presence of the Lord. Every now and then, I just have to feel His presence. I can't make it. Every now and then, I just get so hungry for feeling, not feeling God around, and I just have to get alone, get with the Lord, and feel His presence. For He is so precious to me. For He is so precious to me. 'Tis heaven below my Redeemer to know. For He is so precious to me. I don't care why you like my singing or not. I enjoy bragging on Jesus there. And it's a wonderful thing when you're born again every now and then alone. And, you know, He's an ever-present help in time of need. I wouldn't have been worth 5 cents if the Lord hadn't sent some reversals to me in my life. Prostate cancer and my life around here from the moved up here and all on and on other times. But every time I had a need, the Lord was there to help. And He's an ever-present help in when. And so that need you're going through with today, you know why it's there? To make you look to Jesus and realize you don't have the answer. You have no help and you just need our help cometh from above, the one that made heaven and earth. And so a born-again child of God has the presence of the Lord every now and then, especially in time of need. Well, praise the Lord. Let me give you one more. Go get fat on that chicken, or what are you going to have for dinner? I better not start talking like that, get your mind off. But by the way, I'm feeling pretty good today. You know, the more you brag on Jesus, you know, the better you feel as a preacher and a teacher. Let me give you one other thing. And another assurance of our salvation is the Word of God. Look at 1 John 5:1, just the first part of that verse. And First John 5:1, whosoever, now this, by the way, I'm a kiver to kiver guy. I believe the Bible from front to back and every word in it. Don't understand it all. Wish I did. But I believe every word. I believe all I understand. I believe all I don't understand. That's what you got to do. A lot of things you're not going to understand. But go ahead and believe it anyway. You'll be okay. And when the Lord wants to reveal it, what it is, he'll show you. But anyway, 5:1. The Word of God, the infallible Word of God. The Holy Spirit's the author of the Word of God. He inspired John to write 5:1. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ. In your heart now, it's got to be a heart matter. If you believe in your heart that He's the Christ, the sent of God into this world as a Messiah and the Savior, die for you. If you believe in your heart that, you're what? It's what? Born of God. Born of God. Now, I better get back to my notes. I don't even know where I am, my notes. How do we get born again? Not by good works or church attendance. All this is good and good. Tithing and baptism. No, whosoever believeth that in his heart, I'm glad I can stand and say, I've not always been what I ought to be. But I can say down in my heart, I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, if you're saved, you can say, Lord, I'm not what I ought to be, and forgive me of that. And all of us have to pray that prayer. But Lord, down in my heart, you know, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. the Messiah, the Savior of the world. If you can believe that in your heart and trust him for your salvation, you can be saved. Well, look at verse 13. I'm fixing to come in for a landing here shortly, but look at verse 13. I love verse 13. Brother Jack, you used to have verse 13 of 1 John 5. You used to dwell on that a lot. And these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of... Now, the Lord, the Holy Spirit, put this in here so we could know, folks. And you can trust your soul and your eternity on verse 13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. And you ought to get it settled. If there's any doubt this morning, the old devil will get you to death. Get it settled this morning. And it'll put away those fears and doubts and feelings you have in your heart. Just believe just what God says here in verse 13. That these things are written on you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know. The Word of God says if you've believed in your heart on the Son of God and received him the best you know how, honestly the best you know how, realize he died for you on the cross and believe in the heart, you have eternal life. Now that's, you only get to heaven by one way, and that's believing on faith in God. So if you're here this morning not sure you're saved, or you know you're not saved, or if you're not right with God, if you'll just come forward, get on this altar, humble yourself before God and cry out to him from a sincere heart, Lord, I want to know that I'm saved. Lord, I want to be saved. Lord, I want to get right. You can get it settled today. And God will meet your need before you leave here. The most important thing in this world is to know beyond the shadow of a doubt that you're saved and born again. And listen, there's a great crowd. I appreciate your presence here this morning, but let this preacher urge you. Don't leave here today. I beg you, from the front to the back row of the balcony, don't leave here doubting this morning. Don't leave here not sure that you're born again and on your way to heaven. Jesus said in Mark 8, 36 and 37, for what shall it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and then lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? I'm glad the Lord let me come up here and preach this morning. I'm glad. And if you're not saved or born again this morning, or if you're a Christian out of the will of God, if God's speaking to your heart, come get in this altar. Get on your knees before God. Cry out to the Lord. If you have an honest heart, mean business, you'll meet whatever need you have. He's able to do it. It's up to you. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Every head bowed, every eye closed. How many of us say, Brother Lansley, there was a time in my life when I, the best I know how, trusted Christ as my Savior and got born again. I'm not saying, are you perfect? None of us are. But I have a heart that wants to live for the Lord, and I try to live for the Lord. And I have been born again. If you can say that, just slip your hand up. Wave it a little bit. Just wave it. Yes. Thank the Lord. What a host. Now maybe you're here this morning and maybe the devil's got you doubting. The Lord wants you to have no. He wants to give you assurance that you're born again. Or if you've never been, say, preacher, I've never been born again. I'm lost this morning. If I die right now, I don't have any assurance I'd go to heaven. Oh, my friend. Oh, listen. You're one heartbeat from going to hell, the second death. And the Lord, you don't have to go. The Lord died for you. Come to Jesus. Or maybe you're a Christian. You just maybe drifted a little bit in your Christian life. You need to come and rededicate your life. But you say, preacher, there's a spiritual need in my life this morning. And in your closing prayer, I want you to pray for me this morning. There's a spiritual need in my life, and I'm not going to come to you at all. I just want to pray for you. It's between you and God. It's not between you and me. But you pray for me, preacher. There's spiritual need, my. Just slip your hand up all over the house right quick. Just slip that hand up high, and we'll pray for you right quick. Anyone? Preacher? Yes, God bless you. Anyone else? Yes, God bless you. Anyone else? Anyone else? Maybe you're here and you're a Christian, but you're away from God. You need to come get on this altar. Anyone else? Whatever the need is. Right quick. Raise it high. Raise it high. Yes, God bless you. Anyone else? Anyone else? And when the invitation's given, just come down and get on your knees here. We'll pray with you and we'll help you. We'll help you today. You can settle this thing. I wouldn't leave here. I'd obey the Lord. You would never go wrong obeying. If he wants you to come, come on. We'll work with you and pray with you and help you. Father, we thank you for this privilege. Lord, I've tried to exalt Jesus. He's a wonderful Savior. And Lord, just if you are speaking to someone today, Lord, may they come. Let them know we're friends. We want to help them. May they come and settle this thing today. Do business. And everyone that raised their hand, Lord, I didn't see them all, but you know their hearts. And or if they didn't raise their hand, when the invitation is given, I pray they'll come down here, get on their knees, humble themselves before God, and Lord, do business with God. Leave here with a joy bells ringing in their soul. And we'll thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. What are we going to sing, brother?
270, just as I am.
Just as I am, 270. Just stand, and the Lord wants you just as you are. Just slip out of that pew. If you have a need, if you're a Christian, you want to rededicate your life to Christ, if you want to be saved, you want assurance of salvation, whatever it is, just come right out right now. Go ahead, brother.
Just
we'll meet you right here. Come right on. Sing the next verse.
Just as I am and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blood to thee whose blood can cleanse each blood, O Lamb of God.
Let's just bow our heads and close. Keep playing softly, if you will, please. I preach my heart out to you. Folks, don't leave here if you're not born again or sure of it. Oh, greatest thing in the world is to be born again. Know you're on your way to heaven. If you have a spiritual need, come on right now. Don't let this, the devil's saying, don't come in front of that big crowd. I'd come on today. I'd come on. We're almost through with the service. You've got to come. Come on.
Your eyes are closed. I wonder this morning if you would say, Gary, this was what I needed. And under the devil's attack, I've been doubting, I've been concerned. And this morning, God knew what I needed, and this is what I needed. If you're saying that in your heart, would you just slip your hand up there? This is what I needed. God, I needed this. Good, good, good. Thank the Lord, the Word of God met your needs this morning. Dealing with one here in the front, we'll pray and be dismissed. Encourage to be back with us tonight. Lord, we thank you for the Word of God. We thank you for using Preacher Lasley in many lives today as he opened your Word. And Lord, we saw his heart, his love for you, his love for your Word. And Lord, we thank you for for this wonderful book of 1 John that gives us the assurance of salvation. And I pray for those today that needed to hear this, that you would defeat the devil in their hearts and their lives and the doubts, and help them to trust fully in you and get assurance from your word, I pray. Pray for this one that we're dealing with even now. Give wisdom and direction, and may he be brought to you, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. You are dismissed.